Hey, everybody. On this flash episode of The Charlie Kirk Show, Matt Brainard from the Voter Integrity Project has some bombshell revelations that he's been working on from a data perspective, citizen-run data journalism. You're going to be blown away by what he has to share. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get behind supporting our program at charliekirk.com/support. Matt Brainard is here with a flash update. It's super critical, very important. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to the families across the country. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory, honey, holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory Honey Smoked Ham for free. Our Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone-free, 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you will ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. And chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Give the gift of steak and free hams this holiday season. Go to GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain. Finished beef delivered straight to your door. It is GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken at GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. I'm super thrilled to have this exclusive insight and guest of ours here. Joined our show a couple weeks ago and has been doing some amazing work with the Voter Integrity Project, now famously known as VIP. Matt Brainard, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Welcome back to The Charlie Kirk Show.
I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
The floor is yours. Give us your update of what's going on. You're about to testify at the Arizona hearing here in Phoenix. What have you been discovering with the important work you've been doing with the Voter Integrity Project?
Well, we wrapped up most of the investigation work and analysis late last week, and the conclusion I reached that I shared is that based solely on our data, not on anybody else's data or theories or not even on other analyses that was done using our data, we concluded that the winner of the presidential election cannot be determined. There are enough questionable ballots to put that into doubt. And this has been an issue in several elections in the past in states and municipalities. We can say fairly conclusively is that the actual winner of this election is unclear because of how many illegal ballots are in how many ballots we strongly believe were illegal have been cast in some of the pivotal states, because we cannot say with confidence that Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin, Georgia, or Arizona on the basis of our findings. And without those, he doesn't become the president. He's not rightfully elected president, because were Trump to have won those states, they would go to the House of Representatives, and then he would be reelected because of the way the elections work, you know, when state delegations get to choose essentially the next president. So based on our findings, we can't say conclusively that Biden won. He may have won, Trump may have won, but again, just on our narrow analysis where we have names, addresses, phone numbers of people who should not have cast ballots, didn't meet residency requirements, et cetera, or said that they didn't vote even though a ballot was cast in their name, we are able to reach basically the numbers of the margins in those three states.
Well, I first want to compliment you, because you guys have been relentless. You have been focused, and you've really been effective in what you've been doing. I have a lot of questions for you, but I want to start with one that has kind of been breaking. Reports are showing that the Federal Bureau of Investigation contacted you for some of your data. Is this true, and can you add some context to that?
I've made a tweet saying that the FBI reached out to us proactively, although we were intending to share everything with them anyway, and I have nothing more to say about it.
Okay, that's fair enough, and I appreciate that. I think everybody listening knows exactly what that means. Can you share some specifics about what you've been finding? I have been reading a lot of your tweets and your information. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're finding that a lot of people are registering to vote at mailboxes or postal service locations. Is that correct? Can you help explain that for us?
Sure. That's one of the phenomenon that we didn't set out to study, but we ended up discovering it thanks to the work of one of our satellite teams led by Justin. And so I have to give him a shout out. But when you register to vote, you actually have to put where you live, where you physically live, reside. And, you know, if you're homeless, it can be a park or a homeless shelter or a church or something like that. Or if you live in your car, you know, down on your luck, that's fine. You can list wherever you park or whatever. It has to be where you actually reside. What we found in large numbers in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania and in Georgia, and we're actually finding similar numbers now in Michigan, is a lot of people, they register their physical location at this that looks like 123 Happy Lane, apartment 12. But it turns out 123 Happy Lane is a postal facility, and there's no apartment 12. It's P.O. Box 12. So not only are these not valid addresses to register, it seems that there was an intent to disguise a P.O. box as a residential address. And we've discovered a tremendous amount of these. And there's the thing about this is that there's no doubt that these are not legitimately registered voters. And these aren't just people we found on the registered voter list. These are people who cast ballots. And interestingly enough, overwhelmingly cast them by mail, not showing up in person, but by mail. They voted by mail. And not only is this, I mean, the Postal Service gives a list of all of its lease locations. You can pull any of these up on Google and see, oh, that's a UPS store, a FedEx store, or a postal facility. So that's public. And that matches exactly with so many people on the voter list who are not just on the voter list, but voted. And beyond that, though, the way they registered themselves or whoever registered them, they registered as apartment or suite or unit number, not P.O. box number. Why? Because if you put P.O. box number, it bounces you out of the system because it's not legitimate. So this is a certain level of deceptiveness that we stumbled onto. And it's a significant number of people in Georgia.
And so, incredibly, wouldn't the Secretary of State's office, they would be tasked with proving the authenticity of the integrity of people that register to vote? I mean, call me old school, but even when I registered to vote in the corrupt state of Illinois, I had to register to vote with a voter ID. Now, I didn't have to vote with a voter ID, but when I had to register, I had to at least prove that I was living where I was registering to vote. How is it possible in a Republican state, Georgia, I'm just asking as just to be curious, that you could register as basically on the side of a barn door?
Right. That's a great question. And what our plan is, as we wrap this project up, as we've kind of finished our investigation, is we're going to be putting together a FedEx pack for each of the six states that we've investigated and addressing one to the attorney general of each state and the board of elections or secretary of state, who's ever most in charge. We're going to drop the documents and a USB jump drive with all the names, all the data on it, and tell them they've got to investigate this. And we're going to be counting on people like you and people on Twitter, et cetera, to get people to call those secretary of states, call those attorney generals to turn up the heat and say, okay, here's evidence. Go do your job.
And what you're saying is that you have enough evidence to show that this is now clouded. It's tampered. It's tainted. It is unknown, right? And that's a very important distinction, right? Because if the Federalist Papers talk about this, the House of Representatives should then remedy anything that cannot be conclusively determined who is the winner.
That's correct. And, you know, what's interesting is this used to be a big issue on the left. They used to make a lot of noise about the problems of potential mail-in ballots because historically it was Republicans who voted overwhelmingly with mail-in ballots. It's not no longer the case. Right. So here's, and I just want to quote to you this is the New York Times said, voting by mail is now common enough and problematic enough that election experts say there have been multiple elections in which no one can say with confidence which candidate was the deserved winner. And now we're in that situation with the presidency, and suddenly this stuff No one wants to talk to me anymore. So,
well, we do. And so can you give us some idea as you're in the green room right now about to testify in front of the nation? By the way, we're streaming that live on all of our platforms. We have about 20,000 people watching just on our platforms. No pressure. But also it's millions of people watching this. What are you going to say at this hearing? Can you give us some insight?
Yeah, I'm going to review the findings of our analyses in Arizona and if they have questions about other states. And I'm actually going to have a little audio visual element. I've got recordings of people our call center called telling our people that they did not cast the ballot or that they did not request an absentee ballot, which is another huge problem is that we sort of took a shot in the dark and thought, you know, there are a lot of unreturned absentee ballots. I wonder if these people actually request them. And we found in Arizona, almost half the people that we reached who got an absentee ballot but didn't return it told us that they never requested it in the first place. So who requested these absentee ballots in their names?
So how big was that sample size? I'm just curious. Was it 100 people, 200? I'm sure it was significant.
Our universe of people we were able to reach was about 2,000, and about 1,000 of them told us. So now other people have taken our data and done projections on like what the entire universe is. There's about 500,000 unreturned absentee ballots in. Now, I want to be specific. Something funny about Arizona, unlike all the other states, in Arizona, we're actually only dealing with data from Maricopa County. It's not been available for anybody else. So we're only looking at early absentee voters in Maricopa County alone. And even among them, we've shown that these tremendous numbers.
And Maricopa is obviously the biggest county, the one that had the most stunning kind of turn of events. It's traditionally a Republican county. But I guarantee you, if you looked into Pima County, which is a traditional Democrat stronghold, you'd find the same sort of irregularities in the state of Arizona. So what you're telling me is that you did a 2,000 person universe and 1,000 out of the 2,000 were shown to be not. They said, I did not request a ballot or I did not vote by mail. Is that correct?
I'm pulling the numbers up here. We reached 2,044 people. 902 said we did not request. So that's just about 45% or so.
All those 902 got ballots.
Yes. And among this universe, this was the total universe here was about over 500,000. We were only able to match phones to about half of them. And you know how phone centers work is that you got to give them like 50,000 numbers to reach about 1,000 people. So sure. That's kind of what we found here.
But that's not 50. It's not 100. That's a very serious sample size. And I want to compliment you because for our listeners right now that are just kind of I could just envision a lot of our listeners. They're like, well, why do you have to do this? It's because you're a citizen patriot who is rising up and doing this type of work. And quite honestly, this is what the Bureau should be doing, right? This is what the DOJ should be doing. And so that's just Arizona. Did you find that kind of irregularity of ballots not being sent in Georgia and Pennsylvania as well?
We found it a phenomenon in all six of the states that we investigated. In all of them, usually as low as 18% of the people who received absentee ballots who didn't request them, who didn't return them. So that's already kind of an artificial number because we were only talking to people who the state said they sent a ballot but didn't get one back from them. And then even among those who did request the ballot, many of them said they sent them back, which is a phenomenon on its own. People sending their ballots back saying we never got them. And that's also significant in all of these states, statistically significant. In Michigan, for example, we actually decided to do a supplemental program, just reaching out to everybody who got an absentee ballot, whether they returned it or not, everybody in Michigan. And we found that 13% of them never requested it or told us they never requested it. So, the numbers can be much higher because, talking to a stranger on a phone, kind of some people are a little bit cautious about that.
That is absolutely incredible. So I know you have to testify shortly. What do you think then is the proper path forward based on your evidentiary findings for state legislatures? How should they act based on your findings?
You know, that's my lane is developing this data and presenting it and making it understandable and accessible. It's really up to the lawyers, the judges, and the legislatures decide what the curative action is here. But it's Somebody told me, what if I gave you $1 million and a bunch of FBI agents? Could you actually figure out who really won this election? The truth is I can't. So the only theoretical solution I'm not proposing this, but in my mind, you'd have to basically spend about 3 months cleaning the state's voter lists and then have a new election. And we both know that's fantasy. So.
Yeah, but it's not fantasy to all of a sudden say we are going to push this to the House of Representatives if the election is tainted, which based on all of your findings, it very much shows that it is. So how can people find your data? Are you going to make this publicly available?
I'm putting together a white paper that's going to have as much of this available as possible. One of the challenges I have as I've gone through this, I've realized is that originally what my plan was is to just put all the data out there, right? Of all the names of all the people we found, et cetera. The problem is that if I do that, my means of distributing it, primarily Twitter and some other social networks, would actually delete my account because that in their book is doxing, even though it's all public information. You're well familiar with this. So what I've done doing instead is I'm providing the raw data to law enforcement agencies, to attorneys who are going into court where it makes sense, and then providing a very information rich white paper. I also have journalists coming over to my headquarters or sitting next to me where I can visually show it to them so they can kind of verify that I'm not, you know, making all this stuff up.
Well,
I'd be happy to do that with you if we have time this evening.
I would love to. Yeah, just text me because we're both kind of in the same place here and we've been kind of manning the battleship here. I'd love to go through this and be able to kind of take eyes on it. So I just want to compliment you. I know you have to go testify here, Matt, and I wanted to do this kind of quick interview. We'll post it immediately because it takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of perseverance to go through it, because I'm sure you receive your fair share of backlash and people trying to demean your efforts. So how can people get behind you and support what you're doing?
Well, first I have to thank my team. I couldn't have done this without them. We've got a lot of very experienced people. And also, we had nearly 9,000 donors step forward to fund this thing with awesome. $5, $10, $15 contributions. So I want to thank everyone. We've got more down. We've got stuff coming. Big things coming in the next couple of weeks and in the beginning of the new year. So just follow me on Twitter. That's probably the best, or Gab or Parler. I'm all on all the platforms. So just find me there, follow me, and I'll keep you and all of your viewers in the loop.
Keep up the great work, Matt. Thank you for joining us and good luck testifying.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks for listening. We are on top of the story. We're going to keep on diving deeper. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.